Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello and welcome to Crit Ringside Chat, your eyes and voice for pro wrestling in NYC and your one-stop shop for an honest critique from an honest fan. And if I'm being honest, Jey Uso is not a good wrestler. He's a very popular wrestler. He is not a very good wrestler. Being popular doesn't necessarily mean that you're good, it just means that you're popular. It doesn't mean that you're very good in the ring, it just means that you know how to manipulate the audience. Well, manipulate's a bad way of putting it. You know how to appeal to the audience. And there, in and of itself, is our topic of discussion for today. The importance of the audience. Now, appealing to the audience is very important when it comes to professional wrestling. Obviously. We're the ones with the money. We are the ones buying the tickets. We are the ones buying the t-shirts, the hats, the merch. We are the ones buying those big foam gloves and the championship belts. We are the lifeblood of the business. The wrestlers are there to perform, but if they had nobody to perform in front of, what would be the point? What would all of the training be for if not to perform in front of an audience? Audience and wrestlers go hand in hand. It's a symbiotic relationship. We need each other. Now, when it comes to appealing to the audience, there are two types of ways that wrestlers engage with the audiences. I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I was able to classify it under two different categories: interactive and reactive. Now, interactive is giving the audience something to do or something to say. It could be a catchphrase, it could be a motion, it could be anything. Audiences love feeling like they're part of the show. That's why you'll get stupid people like hecklers yelling over and over again the same 20 tired jokes throughout the entire show, no matter how annoying or how unfunny they are, because they want to feel like they're a part of the show. And everybody wants to feel like they're part of the show. Everybody wants to dap up the wrestlers after the show. Everybody wants to get choked out. Everybody wants to get slapped. Everybody wants to feel like they're something. They want to feel like they are a part of the performance. They want to feel special. I'm no different. I like to feel that way too. I'm not going to act like I'm special. I love to be a part of the show. And wrestlers engage in that in a variety of ways. For example, we could go back to something like the What Chants, started by Stone Cold Steve Austin. I fucking hate them. I hate what they've become. But they are a classic example of an interactive experience for the audience when it comes to the wrestlers. Stone Cold would what people in order to get on their nerves and the audience would join in. Now they do it regardless of whether or not Stone Cold is here. Same way for yelling out woo every time somebody lands a chop. Regardless of how anybody feels about Ric Flair, I personally think that while he may have been a great wrestler and a great performer, he's also a fucking scumbag. The fact that everybody woos when it comes to the chop, it's so intrinsically tied to it that you don't even think about Ric Flair when you do it. You just think of the woo. Now, a more modern example would be, we just talked about him, Jey Uso and yeeting. People love to shout yeet every time Jey Uso cuts a promo, every time he has a break in it, to the point that when he's trying to be serious, he has to motion for the audience to calm down with the yeets in order for him to get his words out. He also combines that with the arm motion, and I will not lie to you, I also like to yeet whenever I see Jey Uso come out. Because hey, it's a fun thing to do, it's a fun thing to join in with the audience on. We also have something like Roman Reigns saying acknowledge me and throwing his finger to the sky, throwing the ones up. That is such a big part of audience interactive participation that people do it with every single member of the Anoa'i family. They do it, they sometimes do it for Jey. They'll do it for Jimmy. They would do it for Solo. They did it for Roman, and they'll even do it for Zilla Fatu and Lance Anoa'i, even though they don't even work in the WWE anymore. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Zilla Fatu or Lance Anoa'i perform, and they throw up the ones, even though they're not into WWE, because they are a part of that family. It has become intrinsically tied with the Anoa'i family. And you could say that with just about everything that Jey Uso and Roman Reigns do. From the yeeting, to saying Usi, to whatever. Whatever big audience interactive thing that the Anoa'i family performed in the WWE, it spreads to every other member of the Anoa'i family that wrestles outside of that company. Another unique example, Bray Wyatt and the Fireflies. When Bray Wyatt was alive, how many times did he enter that the audience turned on their flashlights and lit up the entire fucking arena to the point where they still do it with the Wyatt Six? It is so intrinsically tied to them that the audiences can't help but want to join in. Now, this audience wanting to feel like they're part of the show oftentimes will end up worse for wear. It'll end up being a bad way. And I don't just mean the hecklers. I briefly mentioned the hecklers, but they're just one part of it. They want to steal the show, especially if they find it boring. That's why they'll end up starting to do the wave. They'll start doing random chants with people in the audience. I remember I was at a 205 Live performance a while back, and people, rather than chanting for Kushida, or this is a bad example, but he's the only other dude in the match that I remember was there, Jack Gallagher. People were chanting for a fucking baby. How many times has a WWE audience in the 7 to 11 years that CM Punk was gone from the business chanted for CM Punk, despite knowing full well that at that time he was never coming back? Do you know how many times I've seen beach balls in the audience now because Claudio dared, or rather Cesaro at the time, dared to rip one up at a SummerSlam, and now people play around with beach balls? I'm guessing because they want to recreate that moment, but another way because they want to have something to do in case they get bored. And honestly, for me, that's one of the most disrespectful things that you can do at a show. If you feel like you're going to be that bored at a wrestling show that you need a beach ball to entertain yourself, don't come to a fucking show. If you find wrestling that boring, or potentially that boring, then just don't come. Sit at home and watch it on TV. And save your fucking money. So that's one half of it, the interactive side. The other half is the reactive. Basically, you dictate the audience's emotions and get reactions out of them in order to make them feel something. I believe I saw a tweet from Charles Mason a while back. I don't know if it was a new tweet and something he reposted or a tweet that he recently made, but he basically said, some people wrestle for cheers, some people wrestle for boos, I wrestle to make people go, that made me uncomfortable. And that is indicative of what I'm trying to say. Reactive, dictating emotions, getting reactions, making people feel something. Now, there are three ways to get around this, and the reason that I mentioned Charles Mason is because he's one of the ways to do it. Vitriol. Get the audience to absolutely hate you. Mason does it by making people uncomfortable with the finger licking, with the fish hooks, with the spitting on people. And you have other guys that don't necessarily do it that way, but they have their own ways of making the audience absolutely hate them and make the audience feel uncomfortable. You have Darren Richardson with the way he'll make fun of the audience and get all cocky, strutting his stuff and all that. You have MJF continuously insult the audience, go for the lowest common denominator of jokes, to the point that it feels like he's taking the easy way out. And this is what a lot of people would do. They go for the easy way out when it comes to heat. So you get people like MJF making cheap jokes like, oh, I fucked your mother, you're an incel, you look stupid, your local sports team sucks. The easiest shit that he can do, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's borderline edgelord shit. Like, how many times has MJF talked about a dead family member or a dead wrestler and implied that they went to hell? More than you think. Now, these aren't the only ways to get vitriol with your audience. Those aren't the only ways to get insults and fucking making fun of the audience, making fun of other wrestlers, going for the lowest common denominator, scraping the bottom of the barrel for the easiest thing that you can do to get boos. Those aren't the only ways to get vitriol. There is a really easy and natural way for somebody to get heat. Be the authority. Triple H, Vince McMahon's character on TV specifically, not the man, the character. I understand that there's not a lot of separation between the two, but I'm talking specifically the character on TV, specifically during the Attitude Era, or even The Rock. Everybody hates their boss. Everybody hates their job. Everybody hates coming into work. Everybody hates feeling like they're being used and abused by the authority. And everybody hates feeling like they're being used and abused by whoever is above them at work. It could be your manager. It could be the CEO. It could be your direct supervisor. It could be anybody that has a higher position than you. There are certain people in the business that feed off of that and use that. Like I said, Triple H is the authority. Vince McMahon is the boss, was the boss of WWE. The Rock is one of the bosses of WWE. He's fucking on the board of directors, and he used that to his advantage during his story with Cody. I say his story like it's not Roman and Cody's story, and The Rock just muscled his way in, but you get the idea. This is going to bleed into my second point a little, but it's this idea that seeing somebody fight back against their own bosses is cathartic. That's why everybody loved Stone Cold back in the day, because he regularly was the rebel fighting back against Vince McMahon. That's the reason people loved D-Generation X back in the day. Not just because of the raunchy humor, because Triple H was an okay wrestler, good on the mic, and Shawn Michaels was a great wrestler and great on the mic, but because they fought back against the bosses. They fought back against the man. They were rebels. Part of the reason the Broke Bucks gimmick was so fucking funny was because the people on the staff regularly fought back against the Young Bucks after they stopped being EVPs and stopped having all that money. Like, need we remember fucking during, what was it? It wasn't Blood and Guts. It was the steel cage match, that big ass steel cage match where they tried to get a stagehand to fill a baggie with glass, thumbtacks, or whatever, and because they held no authority and no respect, the guy basically said, fuck you, and filled the bag with fucking gummy bears. People love seeing people fight back against an authority, or a boss, or the man, because they want to live vicariously through that. Everybody has had that moment where they've looked at their boss, their supervisor, their whoever is in charge, and thought, I want to kick you out a window so fucking hard right now. We'll never do it, because God forbid, we need jobs, we need the money, everybody's got bills to pay, but everybody has had that moment where they're so sick of where they work that they want to take it out on the people who are making their lives miserable. And that's why professional wrestling more often than not feeds on that emotion. That's why they create the vitriol with the authority or with other types of heel tactics in order to get people to get those high emotional reactions when the big baby faces come in and save the day. And that in lies with the second point that I have. The second way that audiences are reactive towards wrestling. They view the underdog. The guys that you can see yourself in, the relatable people, you know, guys like Cody Rhodes, Adam Page, Rey Mysterio, people who may be a bit down on their luck or maybe they have some type of mental illness. Like, the reason people love Adam Page so much is because how relatable he is. Anxious cowboy millennial isn't just like a cute little term. It's related. People relate to that. How many fucking millennials out here are anxious or depressed or whatever, or have some type of mental health issue? Hangman exemplified that, and people resonated with that. Cody Rhodes, he's, again, a dude who has been bogged down by the authority and was biting back against the authority. A man who wanted to make his deceased father proud by winning the championship that Dusty Rhodes couldn't win. And again, relatability. How many people out there have wanted to do something that their parents or a certain relative could never do and make them feel proud in the afterlife? Now, you can lump physical engagement in there as well. And for example, I mentioned Rey Mysterio. He'll come up to whichever little kid is in a mask in the audience, bump heads with them, and give them a moment that they will remember for the rest of their lives. That's the reason why on the independent scene, meet and greets are so special, why they feel so special. And even in the big leagues, when you have time to actually talk with the wrestlers, that's what makes meet and greet so special, because it serves to strengthen the connection that the wrestlers have with the audience. Now, the third and final way that you can engage with the audience reactively is actually really simple. Just do cool shit. Now, the definition of cool shit can vary from person to person, but the general idea of it is do something to get the audience popping. Do something to make them scream. Do something to make them go nuts. And it can be a move, it could be a story moment, it could be whatever. A couple of classic moments, as much as I fucking hate the dude, and I will not say rest in peace, but I'm not going to celebrate the man's death. Let's just move on. Hulk Hogan, as much as I don't like him, him power slamming Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3, that is the definition of cool shit. Seeing what he tried to advertise himself as, the average Joe, picking up and power slamming this massive, massive man, cool shit. Another example, a much lower key moment, pun not intended, that more fans of the indies might remember, but the big leagues might not remember. I bet you a bunch of professional wrestlers here remember it. Jay Lyon, I'm looking at you. The Matrix minute between Low Key and Amazing Red. Just a solid minute of flips back and forth with the Amazing Red and Low Key doing the karate kicks and the stomps trying to beat down Amazing Red. Cool shit. Fucking Angelico's big ass crossbody off the top of Dario Cueto's office in Lucha Underground, jumping from one part of the arena into the ring to take out two different people. Cool shit. Penta throwing Vampiro through a burning table. Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic doing top rope moves on each other. Ilya Dragunov just being Ilya Dragunov, a specific example, having his arms tied with zip ties but still going for Torpedo Moscow on Jordan Devlin. Cool shit. I feel like deathmatch wrestlers based their entire fucking careers off of this, where they just look at the athletic commission for whatever state they're in, they read it out, and then they talk amongst themselves thinking, okay, what can we get away with that won't get us in trouble, and let's do it. Cool shit. Matt Tremont does it all the fucking time. Will Ospreay has pretty much built a career off of this. How many times do you see the clip of him and Ricochet flipping all over each other, make the rounds on Twitter, to the point where other wrestlers have imitated that, more famously recently being Kalani Jordan and Sol Ruka at Heatwave? Sometimes all it takes to get an audience going is to just look raw as fuck. Like, how many people were fucking cheering their asses off seeing Eddie Kingston in a shirt covered in blood with a canister of gasoline ready to set Bryan Danielson on fire? One of the hardest images in professional wrestling. Cool shit. That's all it takes. For those who watch wrestling and actually care about the wrestling aspect of it, it is really easy to get a crowd excited just by doing cool shit. It can be a move. It could be doing an impossible move against somebody three times your size. It could be a cool sequence. It could be defying the odds and being refusing to be taken down by any means necessary. It could be the use of a really cool looking weapon, like a light tube, a bat covered in barbed wire, whatever the fuck you can think of. Seeing a good wrestler do what they do best is a great way to keep the audiences engaged and keep them reactive and keep them coming back. Now, if a wrestling fan doesn't care about all that, well, then I question how the fuck they're wrestling fans. Like, I'm not trying to tell people how to view wrestling. Like, watch it however the fuck you want to watch it. It's just, I remain confused. How can you be a fan of professional wrestling if the wrestling part of it is the thing that you're not interested in? Like, the wrestling, the in-ring wrestling, is what separates this form of media from every other form of media. Because you can get good storytelling from movies, you can get good storytelling from books, from television shows, from music, whatever. You can get good storytelling anywhere. It's the combination of wrestling with storytelling that makes professional wrestling so great. And it's the ways that they engage with the audience that makes it so great. Now, granted, the ways they engage with the audience doesn't always have to be about the wrestling, but it's the fact that they tie it in with the wrestling, it goes hand in hand in the same way that wrestlers and the audience go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other in this business. You need strong characters and a decent amount of competence of the actual sport of the wrestling in the ring in order to make great characters. And those great characters need the audience in order to keep everybody engaged. It's a push and pull. We go hand in hand. If the audiences are bored, the wrestling stinks. If the wrestling stinks, the audiences get bored. But that's about all I can say about that. We as an audience are an important part of this business. If a product isn't up to snuff, we make it known. We make it known whether or not we like something, we hate something, we like someone, we hate someone. We're an important part of this business. And the way that wrestlers interact with us and get reactions out of us is important. This is just a little bit of like analysis on the business at large. If you would like to see more of my thoughts on the business at large or stuff like this, make it known. If I could come up with some decent topics, I would love to talk about stuff like this more. But until that point, whether it's on your screen, in NYC, or travel necessity, we will be seated. My name is Crit, and thank you for joining me at Ringside.